TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. No more destruction of historic Indian villages. An over 20-year resistance to a 6-mile, 4-lane freeway bypass through protected wetlands in Northern California took an important turn. A meeting was held in June 2014 between Native American tribal leaders who see their ancient village sites bulldozed and environmentalists who for so long had worked in vain to stop or at least downsize the project by lawsuits, appeals to politicians, and to the agencies empowered to prevent wetland and salmon stream destruction. When in early 2013 bulldozers and loggers actually moved into the salmon streams and clear-cut oak and ash groves, local people, from grandmothers to teenagers, from city council people to local professionals, from journalists to farmers, began a sustained campaign of civil disobedience. Within the year, over 50 of them braved arrests as they occupied trees for up to 2 months or chained themselves to earth-moving equipment. Even mainstream TV covered the story, partly because of the irony that this huge 4-lane bypass, designed a generation ago, was totally over-designed for the ever-decreasing traffic in Mendocino County today. A Freedom of Information request revealed that Caltrans, the California Department of Transportation, had lied when they claimed that the Federal Highway Administration required them to build 4 lanes instead of 2, as a condition of funding. The gathering was held on June 8, 2014, across from the so-called Northern Interchange, in full view of the wasteland that was once verdant marshes and ash groves. Even though Caltrans had been given archaeological maps of the 14 Little Lake Pomo trading posts and village sites within their construction area, and even though Caltrans by law has to comply with various state and federal historic preservation laws, Caltrans erased the entire village of Yami in September of 2013. They notified the local Sherwood tribe after they had bulldozed the topsoil, drilled 1,500 wick drains into the village site, and after they had already covered it up with 3 feet of dirt. Representatives from Mendocino Indian tribes, who are descendants of the Little Lake Pomo, finally were given consultation meetings with the Caltrans archaeologist. Former tribal chairwoman Priscilla Hunter said they had 2 demands. Reduce the size of the Northern Interchange to protect 30 acres of wetlands and archaeological sites, and enforce protection for the many additional sites on land that Caltrans now owns, and plans to build ponds on to create artificial wetlands as substitute for the ones they are destroying. Priscilla Hunter was the first speaker at the outdoor gathering in June 2014. She expressed her appreciation for the environmentalists and local Willits residents in the audience for having done civil disobedience and occupied trees. Priscilla Hunter.
You know, those people that go up in the trees, my God, I take my hat and they're brave. You know, getting out there and protesting and getting arrested and stopping the destruction of our Mother Earth. You know, I thank you from my heart. It's really special, you know, to see how sincere you are. You know, when we first did the water blessing over here, I told my friends, and I said, you know, like, they're out there, tears running down, you know, and I thank the Creator that He blessed us with the people that fight to protect our Mother Earth. You know, this lady out here, Mary, I just found out she got arrested again. So sure, I didn't even know. But you know, Mary, I think we went into that first consultation meeting a couple weeks ago with Caltrans. And Tim, I don't know if you guys know Tim, he's an archaeologist and thinks he loves Indians, loves cultural sites and all that, but I have my doubts. I think we all really need to be on one path and one focus. You know, I think I'd like to have our brothers and sisters over here, you know, do a prayer before we even go over there and, you know, get ourselves connected together.
Thank you. So next I'd like to introduce Edwina Lincoln, who is from Covelo and also a well-known activist. Her ancestors are from here. As she said, she has the blood of the Little Lake Valley people in her. And she is also a representative who has been speaking with Caltrans, and she will share some of her thoughts and lessons over time.
We had met with Caltrans, I want to say, maybe 7 months ago, you know, right before they started flattening everything down. And at that time, they had found remains. And as there's a spot right over here where there's a bunch of trees they left, well, that was identified as a gathering spot of the Little Lake people, where the other tribes came in, and that's where they did a lot of harvesting and prepared their food to put away for the winter months. So we were able to protect that part. And then as we continued, they actually transported us in their, you know, spent their gas money and their rides on us. But they had taken us over to the other spot, and that's where they found some of the remains. And they continued to dig over there and said, yeah, it was fine. And, you know, they were really trying to cut off, because I was standing right there and asking them all these questions about, you know, like, well, did you contact the Native people? And, you know, you guys have this all in plan. And, you know, what about us? I mean, as I began to think about it, and I began to remember all the history, we start all the way from over Chico. They brought the people over Mendocino Pass. They drove them in from over in that area, the Maidu people, and they drove them over to Round Valley. And then as they drove them into Round Valley, they figured out they was close enough to get to San Francisco. And that's how our people ended up in other countries, because of slavery and the selling of our people, like anybody's history. And I began to think, my grandfather is a Little Lake, and he's from this area, and I'm thankful that, you know, my mom gave me that history of my identity. But I always feel, no matter what, we're all blood connected, no matter what. All our blood runs red, so we're all connected. We're all human beings, you know. Just as well as Mother Earth. Mother Earth is, we survive off from it. You know, it gives us life. It always gave us life. The waters and the plants and the trees and just about anything that grows on Mother Earth is something that is given to us to be able to survive with. When I said to Caltrans, because everybody was, there was a lot of Native people there, you know, and they had their turns to speak and whatnot. And I sat there and it came to my turn and I go, well, you talk about genocide. You guys keep putting us through genocide because you can just go and dig us up and don't have to ask any questions or don't have to answer to what you're doing to our people. No matter where we are in this world, you're going to go and dig us up. So we continue to live that genocide because we continue to hurt over and over because of what they've done. I told him in Round Valley if I could go to the White Man's Cemetery and go up there and start digging because I want to take my old village back, you think they're going to allow me to do that? They're not going to allow me to do that. So what's the difference between our ancestors and coming and digging them up? Because we need to move a little bit faster in life. You know, we need to get to Ukiah in 5 minutes instead of 10 minutes. You know, it's like, you know, why? You know, this is our history. But sometimes I get overwhelmed for what they do and how you hurt inside. And I'm like, well, you know what? If something happens in your family, you should remember what you've done to our people. Because that's what he says. We've got to live that life. We've got to do the right thing in life to make it beautiful. And the more and more we feed into the negative, you know, we're only hurting our family circle. We're only hurting our people. So we always have to do things with a passion. We always have to do things with love and caring and honor Mother Earth, who gives us life and life today. As we continue, I think about if they're going to do this, when are they going to hit Round Valley and start taking our water? When are they going to move up in Garverville area and start cutting trees and making more roads and making more buildings up in that area? This is all our land, our ancestors. Every place you walk, that's where they've walked. That's what they've done. But they did everything with passion. They did everything with care. Anything they picked up, they were able to make something out of that. So, you know, I'm just like, am I going to jail? I was trying to call up some of them rich casinos and say, well, I might be going to jail. Can you guys bail me out? But, you know, and a couple people said, yeah. A couple of the young people said, yeah, you know. And I go, well, that's all I ask of you. And so then I got their attention. What are you doing? And I told them that. I'm just grateful and thankful to see everyone here that is standing up for us and understand this path, and to know for the wisdom and the knowledge, the education, how important that is, and how to be able to know the steps that we need to take. We need to send strong prayers out too, because I believe the Creator could change their hearts and their minds. They might be sitting there writing something against us, and by the time they get to writing it, it might be totally different. That's how I believe. And it's an honor today to be able to go out here and sing some songs and walk with our ancestors and call their spirits down and let them know that we are here for them and that we are here to share the prayers and the songs of our people, you know, to let them know that, you know, that we honor them in this way with our songs, our prayers, our medicine, to be able to know that, you know, the Creator knows everything. And they know us too. They're spirits, you know, they're spirits that travel around here. And that's, you know, if we could walk the land and we can stay in connection with those spirits, it's a beautiful thing. Oh.
And now one of our most wonderful speakers is Will Parrish, who has done quite a bit to try to defend the Little Lake Valley. Could I see a show of hands in this audience of people who have been arrested during this struggle, and I'll include myself in that. So that's quite a few of us. And so we are here still trying to defend this land right here from becoming a four-lane interchange, hoping it will be a two-lane interchange. Will tell us some more, please.
I want to thank all the incredibly resilient and persistent people who put this on. We are part of resisting what I think is essentially a war on the earth here. And the bypass is part and parcel of that. And that's something that's happening all over the world. It's been happening for a long time in different ways. It's an old war. It's also creating a lot of new problems. I was actually just the other day reading how the first official climate change refugees from an island nation in Papua New Guinea were just evacuated in April. First time there's been climate change refugees officially that have been taken out of their traditional homeland and relocated because their island is going to be flooded next year. In thinking about that, I was reflecting on the San Francisco Bay Delta, the San Joaquin-Sacramento River Delta, which is the water source for about 25 million people in California. And the climate scientists project that that system, that incredible estuary, which is the largest estuary in the Pacific coast of, you know, including all the way from the tip of South America up to the tip of Alaska, will also be flooded because of the effects of climate change. And so what we're doing here, you know, for me is a really important part of addressing the cumulative impacts of this war on the earth that is taking its toll all over the world in different guises and in different ways. And one of the most important things that I think we can do and have been doing here in the entire time I've been involved with this struggle to protect these wetlands and protect the oak woodlands and the streams and the life of this valley is that we deepen our relationship with our land base here, and we maintain, you know, those of us who have had a long-term relationship, maintain that relationship. So we've done that in all kinds of ways, and just, you know, in my direct experience is and being part of this struggle in the last year and a half, you know, I know that the Willits Environmental Center and others have stalled this project for over 20 years through working through the system. I'm looking out and I'm seeing a couple people who locked down the machines that were filling the wetlands over here. We had a tree sit that lasted 5 months up there in the now fractured Oregon ash grove over there, and all kinds of other, you know, much more thankless things that, you know, create a sense of connection and a sense of commitment to these wetlands that is bringing us here today. And I think that's also something that's worth celebrating, the fact that we're still here. You know, I've been facing a court battle that's been getting some attention related to occupying a wick drain stitcher out here. That's something that, while I'm sort of in the limelight for that, a couple dozen people had a key role in sustaining that. So there's been this legacy in these stories that we've been building through participating in events like this, and also creating an example of resistance that other people are inspired by is incredibly powerful. I'm going to be actually going out to a gathering on Winnemem Wintu land tomorrow that's over in the Shasta, kind of McLeod River, Upper Sacramento watershed, who are taking on, you know, the biggest corporate agribusiness interests possibly in the entire Western Hemisphere, who want to raise a dam that would flood their territory, you know, including dozens of sacred sites, and basically would be a cultural genocide against them. And they don't even have federal recognition, but they are causing all kinds of headaches for these extremely powerful interests. And, you know, they're fighting against the odds. And, you know, given what we're up against, you know, rebelling against the odds, I think, is the biggest moral imperative that we have, you know, to undertake. So thank you to everyone for being part of this struggle. And thanks to everyone who's here.
I'm now going to present Mary Corte, who's going to read a poem. And she's a local poet and Earth First activist. She was arrested at the Caltrans Willits office in 2013. And please come and speak with us.
Thank you. Kristen and I at this moment comprise the Cosmic Family Band. While they're getting things together, I would like to proclaim my mantra that I learned when I went to work for Coyote Valley. Our duty as white folks is to make sure there is land left to take back. You ready? Okay. Blessing. All the ghosts of all the songbirds, all the ghosts of foxes, coyotes, cats, all the ghosts of Pomo in their dance. hidden by thousands of years' dust. All this rises above this valley, this lake. All this rises on morning fog, on little sun. Busy lives of newcomers, creatures of commerce, of daily dragging, dragging earth in their wake. Bless us all, O Great Mother, great arms wide to gather in blessed and all kinds of not so blessed. Gather us all into your beauty. Make us see every spear of meadow foam, of native vetch, everywhere, every time we tire out our feet.
Thanks to Mary Corti and Chris Jahosky. And now I introduce to you Gypsy Thorne.
Up in Rocky Mountains, where the golden leaf trees dwell, the aspen of the northern lands is under siege from hell. The years keep getting hotter, and the demon bugs don't die. Whoever says there's no global warming tells an ugly demon lie. 'Cause we're out of water, we're out of land, we're out of options, there's no backup plan. We're out of time, dirty wars and oil spills, and I think I know the reason.
Is that greasy dollar bill?
And it's all destroy our home, and they never tell us why. But I think I know the reason. It's that greasy dollar bill and the power that it holds over every human's will, and the greed it takes to get it causes all these social ills.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm Madge Strong, and I'm co-emceeing with Kim Bancroft. Without further ado, let me introduce Karen Pickett, who is with the Bay Area Coalition for the Headwaters and also with Earth First. Thank you so much, Karen. Come on up.
I came to these Caltrans campaigns because of Caltrans' larger agenda. Caltrans has this big picture for the North Coast that would transform the North Coast into something that I don't think any of us wants to see, and something that was never meant to be. Why do they have this grand agenda? Well, several reasons. One is pressure from the trucking industry, and that's primary. Of course, that's all about money and commerce. And the other projects that are online, two big projects, one is Richardson Grove up in southern Humboldt, where they're going to straighten and realign the highway and basically excavate soil around the mammoth redwoods in a state park. And they claim no significant impact will come from this work, which is insane. And the reason that we stopped it for a while is because we got a scientist to go out and study the problem. They did not have a scientist. They were not using science. And our scientists testified in court that, of course, this would impact the redwoods. And the other project is up on the Smith River, and we were actually just in court with this project. And it's similar to the Richardson Grove project in that it's a realignment project. Now, the Smith River, as people probably know, it's in Del Norte County. It's pretty wild country up there, and there are old-growth redwood forests that would be impacted, but also wild salmon runs. And the Smith River is a wild and scenic river, and it's also the last undammed river in California, and we want to keep it wild. Their plan was to start blasting, that's their words, because there's rock walls alongside the river, on May 1st. And we stopped them in court. We got a preliminary injunction. Now, you know, court victories are what they are. They're good, but they're not permanent protection. And so what that court victory does is it puts a hold on things until the case goes to trial in November. So people need to stay tuned. And I said, you know, the primary reason that they're carrying out these projects, that they have this big agenda, is because of pressure from the trucking industry. Well, it's also because of this Caltrans mindset. They're supposed to be a public agency because they spend our money, but they basically have a corporate mindset. And they haven't evolved from being in this very car-centered, bigger and faster is better. And so now we have to push our agencies, push our elected officials while we're carrying out all of our activism. There needs to be oversight over Caltrans. Yes, we have to save these wetlands, but we have to stop Caltrans. We have to put the brakes on Caltrans, and we have to do it now. Earth first.
That was Karen Pickett, longtime environmentalist, Earth First member, and head of the Bay Area Coalition for Headwaters. After Karen spoke, about 100 people crossed Highway 101 and entered the construction site for a Native American ceremony to honor the Little Lake Pomo and their desecrated homes, who lived here not very long ago. For that story, come back when TUC Radio returns. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Open the newest programs page and scroll down. This program was produced off the grid with solar power. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations, and free as podcast online. This is an unfunded program that depends entirely on donations by listeners. You can contact TUC Radio online at tucradio.org. The email is tuc@tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.